again, just amongst believers and just the sweet fellowship that we can have. I want to give an update on Danielle. So the missionary group, the missions group that went to Mongolia is wrapping up their trip. Had some issues with transportation, but they're coming back. Actually, there was supposed to be a group going out to Vietnam, but because of the monsoon, they're delaying it or rescheduling it. So there's a lot of things going on in her ministry. We're in Romans, but before that, I got some things. This was last Sunday. These are a World Cup event. Had all these kids come. These are the kids that, and they're not kids, they're adults, they're young adults. They're a bunch of them are master's program, some of them in their PhD programs. They're very intelligent kids. So you have prayed for them, you have fed them, have impacted in with us, with Judy and I in our ministry with them. So this was last Sunday, each one with a different story. This was Friday, it's not just for students. There's two couples in the front sitting down. That's Daniel and Carly. When you say someone is a rocket scientist, well, Daniel actually is a rocket scientist. He graduated from Wheaton, and then spent his master's in IIT, and actually it was really fun working with them because they are hungry for ministering for God. Daniel was raised in Guatemala, was a missionary kid in Guatemala, and then moved to the States to go to Wheaton. Carly is from Georgia. And her family, her sisters, are missionaries. And so they actually, Friday, was actually their last time with us at Bridges because Carly's pregnant. She's going to move to Indianapolis so that they can be with family. But when the baby is born, they are actually preparing to go into Southeast Asia for missions. So pray for them. It's Daniel and Carly. Judy and I have grown to love them both very much, and we continue to pray for them. And they have, so he is a rocket scientist. It just blows my mind. But he works with a engineering group. And he's going to be working in Indianapolis remotely on this work that he's doing. He's doing a project on navigation, on actually like the Tesla navigation, crazy. But I asked him, so what are you going to do when you move to Southeast Asia? He says, I'm just going to serve God, and if I find something that my skills can provide, I'll work on it. But Carly and I are going to move to Southeast Asia. They didn't want to give us the country because I think it's a sensitive country. So continue to pray for them. Let me back up. So this is just an intro. We're going to Romans chapter 4. Justified by faith alone. This is my intro because this is the people that we, as believers, talk to every day who aren't Christians. So you might remember in 1979, an investment firm released a commercial. You might remember their famous line. Probably remember this. We make money the old-fashioned way. We earn it. I don't know if you guys remember that commercial. I certainly do. But lots of people today, most people actually, follow the Smith Barney religion. That's the investment firm, Smith Barney. You can remember that. And their way is we get our salvation the old-fashioned way. We earn it. And that's what happens to a lot who identify as Christians, who identify, you know, this is the way. I earn it. And actually, it's with many of the international students because they come from religions where it's a works religion. But we're going to go into Romans chapter 4. But before that, and this is pretty sad. I found this online. This a preacher who didn't understand the true gospel told this to explain the faith that he taught. This is very wrong. This is very wrong. In his teaching, he says, "It seems that a frog one day fell into a pail of milk. And though he tried every conceivable way to jump out, he always failed. The sides were too high, and because he was floating the milk, he could not get enough leverage for the needed leap to be safe. So he did the only thing he could do. He paddled and paddled and paddled some more. And voila, his relentless paddling churned the milk into butter from which he was able to launch himself to freedom. The preacher's message was, just keep paddling. Keep on working. Keep doing your best and you will make it. That is wrong. That is not biblical. That is salvation through works. There is nothing that we can do. You know, we sung Amazing Grace this morning. This is one of our favorite hymns. Most people still believe that if you try your best, you'll somehow make it to heaven. Americans are hooked on the idea that being a good person, working hard, pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, and you will earn a seat in God's kingdom. If you press most people on this, they're actually against the idea of being saved only by faith through God's grace. You know, many people are more comfortable with the motto, we get salvation the old-fashioned way. We earn it. Let's just open up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we have with one another. That, Father, that we can look into your word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. And Father, we want to humble ourselves. We want to just quiet our hearts. Open our ears. Pray, Father, you would fill this place with the Holy Spirit. Father, give clarity to my words, to the words, that they may bring honor and exalt Jesus Christ, our Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. So we're going to go into Romans chapter 4, but we're going to read Romans verses 1 through 8. Let me read that to you. I'm going to be reading from the New American Standard Version. What then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, has found? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wage is not credited as a favor, but as what is due. But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing on the man to whom God credits righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds have been forgiven and whose sins have been covered. Blessed is the man whose sin the Lord will not take into account. Now, so Paul is writing to the believers in Rome, and the majority of them would be from the Jewish background. And for many of them, for all of them, the stronghold of Judaism was Abraham and David. We also have Moses in there. But here, Paul goes to Abraham and David. We will look into the faith of Abraham. But before we get into that, let me just kind of give a definition or a meaning to faith, because we're going to be talking about faith a lot. And I'm going to use what Charles Spurgeon explained what faith was. To him, faith is made out of three things: knowledge, belief, and trust. Knowledge, belief, and trust. That's what faith is consisted of. And we're going to look at that into Abraham's life, because his faith was credited to him as righteousness. Let's look at his life. First, we see in Genesis chapter 12, this is when God calls Abram, calls him out and tells him to follow him to another land. And Abram was obedient. And we get some of this, it's built up in the New Testament, because we read in Hebrews chapter 11, 8 to 10, specifically on this, okay, that he was called and he left. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8 to 10, it says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, and as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God." So Abraham was called. Abraham, by faith, believed and left. He was obedient to God's calling. Okay? The knowledge, God was for him enough to move everything, because he knew God. This is God, Creator God. In Genesis 15, we see God makes a covenant with Abram. Tells him, "Look at the skies. Look, you're going to be a father of countless descendants." And Abram believed. Verse 6 of chapter 15 in Genesis reads, "Then he believed," Abraham, "then he believed in the Lord, and he reckoned it to him as righteousness." Once again, knowledge. Belief and trust. He not only just believed it, but he actioned it. It was actionable. And that's sometimes we get stuck there. We believe these promises of God, but sometimes we don't take that leap of faith and make it actionable. We have a whole, you can read James chapter 2 about your works through your faith and works. It's a good chapter to read about this. Then in Genesis 17, God renames Abram and Sarah to Abraham and Sarah. Once again, God tells them that you're going to be a father of many nations. That's what Abraham means, the father of many nations. And then he also gives him the sign of circumcision to kind of have this seal or this identity of this covenant. And he was obedient. Here's the actionable part of Abraham's faith. We see that in Genesis chapter 22. And we've had many preachers preach from Genesis chapter 22. This is Abraham's faith with Isaac. When Jehovah asked him to bring him up to be a sacrifice, and Abraham's faith was obedient to God. Even though God told him that he was going to be the father of countless descendants, this was the son that he had with Sarah. He was obedient. And we see that even expounded in Hebrews chapter 11 once again. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17 and 19. It says, by faith, again, going back to that definition, knowledge, belief, and trust. By faith, because of his knowledge of who God is, because he believed what God said, and that he trusted in what God is saying, by faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who had received the promises was offering up his only begotten son. It was he to whom it was said, in Isaac your descendants shall be called. He considered that God is able to raise people even from the dead. That's his belief and trust in God, that it was possible. To raise people even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type. So this is the faith. We are justified by faith. The just shall live by faith. The righteous shall live by faith. This is the faith Paul was talking about. Having the knowledge of who God is, believing in what God says, and once again, what does God say? Well, we have Scripture. And again, in Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. That's how we get our, we form our faith. We get this knowledge, belief, and trust. If you remember, back in May, we had Raju speak to us. Guys, you know, he's just super. He's like one of those kids, you know, PhD, you know, just super intelligent guy. But I remember a phrase that he taught or he shared with us. And that phrase was, receiving the truth must be transformational. Those were his exact words. Receiving the truth must be transformational. We can't just say, oh yeah, okay, I believe that. It has to transform you. One of the things, you know, when working with these kids, many of them, but they ask, I want empirical evidence that there is a God. And, you know, I said, I can't do that. I can give you evidences. I can't give you an empirical evidence that there he is. There is God. No. Because this morning we were talking about our hearts. We're talking about that battle within our hearts. What am I going to live by? By my own direction or but how God wants me to live? I appreciate what Raul said this morning that it's a constant battle. Even for believers, who are we going to listen to? You know, we cannot accept the truth that we believe and that we trust and just sit on it. We need to live out that truth. That's the challenge for each one of us. You know, we can't accept the truth. You know, we come to church and we have preachers explain and just give us some of the meanings of the words and and so on. But they're not just words. They are words that are in the Bible. The words of God. You know, because each writer was inspired by the Holy Spirit. We can't just sit on a truth and sit on it. We need to live out the truth. One amazing thing that we see and is described about Abraham in Scripture. I love the verses. It's in James chapter 2, verse 21-23. again, this is about Abraham put in action to his faith. In James chapter 2, verse 21-23, and this is the verse the chapter I was referring to about works and faith. Verse 21 reads, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac, his son, on the altar?" You see that faith was working with his works. And the result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness." And catch this. "And he was called the friend of God." Each one of us here, this almighty, omnipotent, all-knowing, holy God, that each one of us can be called a friend of God because of what our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, did on Calvary. Died on the cross for our sins so that we could have a relationship with the holy God. Not just a relationship, but be called a friend. That hymn that we sang, "Almighty Infinite Father, faithfully loving your own, you are the one we praise. You are the one we praise." That's why I can be up here and proclaim that Jesus is my Lord, because he has transformed my life. I'm sealed by the Holy Spirit. So when I read his words, it comforts me, knowing that it is finished. Abraham or David cannot boast of their works because they were sinners. And that's the example that Paul uses to explain to those Jewish crowd that salvation is not through works. It's not through obeying the law, because you're going to fail. You're going to fail. The law just shows us that we are going to fail. There's going to be judgment. You know, we studied Daniel in Daniel chapter 5, when we saw King Belshazzar, you know, in that party with the cups of gold from the temple. And we see in that story the finger that was writing on the wall. One of the words was takil, which is Aramaic. It's funny because Belshazzar said, he got all his magicians, "Tell me what that means." It was in his own language. Yet, didn't understand. But takil in Aramaic means you have been weighed on the scales and found deficient. Like each one of us here without Christ. You have been weighed on the scales and you are found deficient. You are a sinner. You cannot be in the same place with a holy God. You are deficient. Belshazzar was deficient, and we're deficient without Christ. Christ alone. Justification only comes through faith. The just shall live by faith. You know, let's move on. There's the one verse that sticks out in my mind. It's such an important verse in this chapter. And I'll kind of explain a little bit better. But verse 5, just keep that in the back of your mind. "But to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited as righteousness." You know, when I read that verse, it's like, there are no good people in heaven. There are no good people in heaven. Because everyone's a sinner. And it's only through our faith in Jesus Christ and what he has done on the cross for each one of us, as a sinner, that he is the Savior It's the only way we will be credited with righteousness. And it's imputed with righteousness. God came for the ungodly. Well, I'll have more to say about that. Let's continue on. Romans chapter 9 through 12. Righteousness is for all who believe. Let me just read this. Once again, this is a New American Standard version. Is this blessing then on the circumcised or on the uncircumcised also? For we say, faith was credited to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it credited? While he was circumcised or uncircumcised? Not while circumcised, but while uncircumcised. And he received the sign of circumcision, a seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had while uncircumcised, so that he might be the father of all who believe without being circumcised, that righteousness might be credited to them. And the father of circumcision, to those who do not only are of the circumcision, but who also followed in the steps of the faith of our father Abraham, which he had while uncircumcised. It's kind of crazy. A lot of words, a lot of circumcision there. These are just signs. So did Abraham believe while he was circumcised or uncircumcised? No, he wasn't circumcised yet, right? He believed three chapters before that. So it's not this physical thing. It's a sign of, but that's not what it is. You know, justification comes through simple faith in Jesus, and that salvation is to open to anyone who believes. Anyone who believes, regardless of background, circumcised or not circumcised, baptized or not baptized, churched or not churched. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. You know, Jesus teaches this. Jesus teaches this lesson right before he shares that universally known verse, John 3:16. And I know Bill read this verse last week also. He teaches on verse 14 and 15. This is just amazing. Talking about that it's justification comes from simple faith in Jesus. Let me just read that, 14 and 15. So this is the verse right before John 3:16. And Jesus says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So whoever believes will in him, who believes in him will have eternal life. That's the verses right before John 3:16. A little context, a little background. As you remember, we talked about being in the Psalms we were reading that during in the wilderness. This is the story. This is the background. The Israelites were sinned and were complaining about the condition that was in. This is terrible. We want to go back. Why are we out here? They continued to sin and complain. Well, God had enough. There was judgment. Judgment came through these deadly snakes that would bite them. When they were bitten, they would die because they were just complaining. But God provided a simple faith-based remedy through a bronze serpent on a pole. Okay, they only had to do one thing. We read that in Numbers 21, verse 8. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a standard, and it shall come about. Here it is. Here's the condition, that everyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, he will live. They had to do. They had to believe that what God said, what Yahweh say, look at this serpent, and you're bitten. And this is kind of, they were all bitten. It's like they were all sinners. All you had to do is look at that pole with the snake there, and you will be healed. You know, as I was contemplating, thinking about that truth. You know, just look at it. It didn't say, you know what, go find a cure for it. You can do that. Go find a cure. No, he said, just look. He didn't say, well, help each other. If someone falls over there, go help them out. No, that's not. Look at the pole, at the serpent. He didn't say, well, you can fight these serpents. You know, get a sword and start killing them. No, because there's too many. And you're still going to be bitten. They're paddling. He didn't say, well, why don't you just pray to the serpent on the pole? Maybe that will be it. No. Because it was just look at the serpent. He didn't say, well, bring an offering. Bring an offering to the serpent. That'll make them happy. And no. He just said, look. We try to paddle. We try to do whatever we, in our mind's eye, to do a works-based salvation. There's nothing that we can do. There's nothing that we can do. It was just to look at the serpent and they would be healed. Simple faith. Faith in knowing that it was God who said it. There was, you know, belief in what God says, and then trusting what God says. It was just to look. And then, after that, Jesus says that marvelous verse, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. That's the context of that. Isn't that beautiful? Just look. Just believe. Let's look at the last part. This is the promise rests on faith in God's power. For the promise of Abraham or to his descendants that he would be heir of the world was not through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. For if those who are of the law are heirs, faith is made void and the promise is nullified. For the law brings about wrath, but where there is no law, there is no violation. For this reason, it is by faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace, so that the promise will be guaranteed to all descendants. Not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Oh, that's so important. Verse 18, in hope against hope he believed, so that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been spoken, so shall your descendants be. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, not as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him, who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, he who delivered over because of our transgression and was raised because of our justification. Abraham believed in who God was. He believed that even God, who gives life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. This is the beautiful description of God, the Creator God, when there was nothing He created. Well, how big of a challenge is that for Him to have Sarah's womb to become fertile again? He created everything from nothing. Abraham believed in God. He believed that God can do this. He believed that God, who made all those stars, when he asked Abraham to look into the sky, that the numbers, those are going to be your descendants. He created those stars. He can believe in God. And he can trust in what he said. You know, Abraham's faith is shown as strong, growing, and unshakable. Trust that God will keep his promises. Abraham staked his whole life on God's power to create and give life. He was sure God could bring life from his and Sarah's old dead bodies because of that trust. God counted him as righteousness. But let's not forget the story of Abraham. Yet also, God's friend also had struggles. We will also have struggles. Remember, he lied about Sarah being his sister twice. He did rely on God to protect him against these kings. You remember? He tried to fulfill God's plan on his own in partnership with Sarah. That was Hagar. And they had Ishmael. He had doubts. Remember the doubts were, you know, I can just visualize in my mind, you know, when God said that Sarah will be fertile, and it's like I see him kind of snickering. But what? But she's old. She can't be fertile. He had doubts. We all have doubts. You know, we will have struggles. But what my prayer is that God's word will be louder than my doubts. That's what I pray. That God's words will be louder than my doubts. Because God's words are true. It's my doubts that get in the way. You know, verse 24, but for our sake also, to whom it was credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord. Those who believe in him who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He who was delivered over because of our transgressions and was raised because of our justification. He is risen. He's become victorious. Our faith is in him. Our faith is in him. Our knowledge, our belief, and our trust is in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to read to you a testimony of one of these students. His name's Alex. He is the one, if you see the lady in the red shirt, the one right above him, he's Chinese, Alex. So you see him there. He just graduated with his master's in computer science, and actually he has been awarded a job to work with a technology firm, but through the university. He's another one of those crazy, intelligent guys, but he's such a good guy. I want to read to you how he learned, how he came to faith in God, okay? Again, he's one of these guys who writes papers all the time. So, I mean, you know, he has headings in his testimony. He had who I used to be, first encounter with Christianity, struggles and questions, the turning point after believing, and then conclusion. So he's about 32 years old now. Again, Alex, right above the Chinese lady who are, actually, those two Chinese ladies, they are the ones, they're lawyers. They're lawyers in China. They want to pass the bar exam so they can make more money when they go back to China. But you know, we've had good relationships with them. Okay, this is Alex's testimony as we close. For the 30 years I lived in China, I was an atheist. Since my student years, I have loved science and believed that the objective laws of the material world were the ultimate truth. In my understanding at the time, human beings were nothing more than highly advanced animals capable of speech, and a person's value depended on their knowledge and abilities. I often viewed life through the lens of computation. Once I asked a Spanish classmate if a large language model and a human always give the same answer to the same question, do you think there's any difference between them? He said, yes, because humans have a soul. At the time, I quietly laughed at his answer. But the word soul left a question mark in my heart from that moment on. This next, I'm going to move on. My first encounter with Christianity. He says, as I engaged with the Bible, my previous values were continually challenged. For example, Jesus said, if someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. At first, I thought this was weakness. But over time, I came to see that it is not weakness. It is a refusal to respond to evil with evil. Jesus had the power to fight back, but he chose love and forgiveness. I cannot do that myself, but I recognize how great it is. Next, the turning point. Through ongoing struggle and reflection, I began to see what my real issue was, not just about external choices, but about the inner self. Constant trying to take control, yet being pulled by distorted desires. At the time, a verse from the Bible struck me deeply. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Galatians 2:20. I began to understand that what I could not grasp about original sin was not simply about doing wrong things, but about a life that is separated from God. A distorted nature that tries to rely on itself and control everything. Everything I had learned over the past 2 years at Bridges suddenly connected. God created humans in his image. True freedom and life are not found in separating from God, improving ourselves, but in being made new in Christ. For the first time, I truly understood that Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection were not just a religious story. They are the way out for my life. I needed to let go of my old self, to crucify with Christ and allow Jesus to reign in me. So I chose to believe in Jesus and became a Christian. And there's more. It's simple faith. It's the knowledge, the belief, the trust in our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't add anything to it. He came for the ungodly. We're all ungodly. We all have paths. And that kind of helps me when I reach out to people. I'm not like, you know, when they start swearing, you know, I'm not put a back. Because that's their natural instincts. And I encourage each one of us that, you know, people are ungodly. Ungodly people need Christ. God came for the ungodly. So when you talk to someone, like, you know, with these students, just sharing life with them, their skepticism, don't be offended by that. Walk alongside them and share what your story is or your faith, what you believe. You know, I shared this the other night, you know, Daniel, we were talking about, you know, our fear is the judgment. But one time we will all be judged. I shared with the students, guys, remember Daniel? He's reminded every day when someone calls him, Daniel. His name is, God is my judge. And that's who he lived his life. God is my judge. He's the one I have to answer to. And as believers, when we talk to people who are not believers, it's okay if they get into your face, because that's their natural reaction. Just come alongside them and share your faith. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this time that we have. Be with us this week. Thank you, Father, that you have blessed us. I thank you for Northwest, for the believers, the saints that are here, that we can have fellowship with one another, encourage one another, even in our challenges. Father, just pray that, Lord, we would be your ambassador, that we would share our faith with the people, that we would not be ashamed of the gospel. The gospel is the power of salvation through our God. Amazing. We want to give you thanks, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name.